The name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The prologue of John's Gospel ends with the following: "And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. From his fullness we have received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known." As we listened again to the passion and death of Jesus Christ, it's hard to see where the grace upon grace lies in a crucifixion. What could possibly be the grace and truth that comes to us through this horrible death? To gaze on the cross is to be confronted by evil in the world. To remember again the evil we have done to others and the evil done to us. But there is more, and it comes to us in a mystery. It is the mystery of the wounds of Christ and how Christ's wounds are intimately connected to our own wounds, our own woundedness. One of the hardest things we have to do in life is to come to terms with the reality that we're not perfect. To let go of the fallacy of, if only I was good enough. It's very difficult to make this journey from thinking that we are good enough because of what we do to the place of becoming aware that we are good enough because we are made by God. Yes, we're told this, but being told and knowing it in our hearts are two very different places. It is the path of wisdom, but it is not an easy path to take. For it is along this path that the perfect image we have of ourselves, you know, the one we only admit to inside our heads, becomes deconstructed as all the false realities that prop up our perfect self-image are revealed as the lies they really are. And this deconstruction is not easy, for we cling to those delusions. They must be torn from us. And we are wounded in the process, often deeply wounded. I'd like you to entertain the possibility that these wounds are actually a gift from God. I know they don't feel like a gift. Oh, do I know that? But they are. They are an intimate part of what it means to be fully human. Nobody gets through this life without being wounded in some way, shape, or another. And here is the mysterious part. The part that haunts us as we gaze on the cross this night. What if this woundedness that lies at the heart of what it means to be humanity is the image of God that we are made in? You see, we believe that we're made in the image of God. It's one of our central tenets of faith. And it's easy for us to see the perfection that we long for and invent inside us as the image of God that we are hoping for. But what if that is a false image? What if the woundedness is not something that we did to God, but a defining characteristic of God? What if the cross is the ultimate revelation of the woundedness of God? What if the cross is what God really looks like? We know that creation isn't perfect. It's messy. Very messy. Good, certainly. Indeed, very good. But messy, nonetheless. What if it is the very act of creation that wounded the perfection of God? What if when God said, "Let there be light," the perfection of God was torn a little bit to make a little space for that light? And so it began. You know, I had a friend who was a potter. And she used to say, all the really good clay has stuff in it. And so when you're throwing a pot and you're turning it on the wheel and you're pressing with your thumb gets cuts in it. Your hands get cuts in it all the time. Eventually you get used to it. You grow enough scars that your hands work okay. But creation is apparently a wounding process. We know that the resurrected Christ was known by his wounds. Surely the power of God to resurrect Jesus could easily have erased those injuries. Nail prints in the hands and feet, spear print in the side. So why weren't they erased? Why weren't they healed? What if these wounds are part of the nature of God? Indicative of wounds present in Christ even before the incarnation. But what if the cross is not a transaction, but a revelation? A revelation that the wounds we bear are the things that have the power to shape us into the true image of God. What if the dream of God is not perfection as we would see it, but the cross of Christ alive in our hearts with all the messiness that comes along with it? In a few minutes, as we bid the solemn collects and gaze upon the cross hanging over the altar, ask yourself, where are my wounds? And what do I ache for? Seek for the power of God that lies behind your wounds. And wonder, how might my wounds have been used to make me a better person? What healing do I have yet to do? As Christians, we struggle to take up our cross daily and follow Christ. I invite you to remember tonight that the cross we each take up has nails in it too. And those nails are nails for us. They're our nails. So tonight, seek a way to give meaning to those nails, or to see the meaning behind those nails, as symbols of the wounds that have been shaping you, as well as the wounds that injured Jesus. For they are wounds that are bound together in the mystery that is the cross. May these nails be potent and constant reminders of the great mystery that binds all of our wounds together, binding us together with Christ and burning the new law of love into our hearts. Therefore, my friends, let us approach with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Amen.